This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome to another edition of Sahaba Profiles. We continue the discussion on the life of Umm Salama bint Abu Umayya radiyallahu anha. We explained that her real name was Hind and she was initially married to Abdullah bin Abdul Asad Makhzoomi. She was known as Umm Salama after her son Salama, and he was known as Abu Salama. Both of them came from very noble background, from rich families, from well-to-do families, respectable families in Makkatul Mukarramah. Her husband was the blood brother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and her husband was the 11th person to accept Islam. She came from a family where her father was known for his great generosity. Whenever he would travel, he would bear the expenses of everyone who was on the journey with him. But the things changed very radically for them after they accepted Islam. Their families ostracized them. They were marginalized by their own relatives. And then they made hijrah to Abyssinia. They heard the rumor that things had improved after the acceptance of Islam by Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh. They returned only to find that Muslims were still being marginalized and persecuted. And they wanted to make hijrah to Abyssinia a second time, but then it was time to make hijrah to Madinatul Munawwarah. And when they were leaving as a family, her family came, Umm Salama's family came and snatched her away, saying to her husband, "You cannot leave with our daughter." And then he was forced to leave alone. And after she was snatched away, her in-laws came and took the children away from her, saying, "You cannot bring up our children without our son," meaning her husband being present. And for a considerable period of time, she would go every day to the point of separation and she would cry, until one family member one day asked her what was her story. And when he heard it, he went and gave a mouthful to both the seniors in her family and the seniors in her husband's family. And then they gave her permission to leave, and they also gave her permission to leave with her children. But her difficulties did not end now, because there was no one to accompany her on the journey from Makkah to Medina. These days, it's a 5-hour, 6-hour journey by modern-day conveyance, car or, you know, a bus would be a little bit longer. In those days, it was a good few days. You had to travel through the desert, you had to travel by camel. And she built up the courage and she decided to do so on her own. And she went and she started traveling, but she didn't know the way. And she met a man called Uthman bin Talha Abdari. And he was very surprised to see a woman who's traveling all by herself with her children from Makkah to Medina. So he inquired, and, you know, "Who are you and what's your story and where do you intend to go, and you know, do you know the road?" And when she explained to him her story, and she explained to him that she did not have anybody to accompany her, he took pity on her and he decided to be her guide throughout the journey. And she talks very glowingly about him. She says, "He was such a decent, pure-hearted man. There was not a trace of evil in him. There was nothing wrong that you could find in this person. He would lead me at the right times. He would give me intimacy. He would allow me privacy with my children. He never made any untoward advances to me. He wasn't looking for any recognition, for any sort of compensation, nothing. He just took me all the way to Madinatul Munawwarah." And naturally there she was very happy to be reunited with her husband Abu Salama. Abu Salama took part in the Battle of Badr. Then he took part in the Battle of Uhud. And in the Battle of Uhud, he was wounded very seriously with the side of a spear. The wound on the apparent had healed, but internally it had not healed. And while he was still recovering from what happened at Uhud, the Prophet ﷺ made him the commander of the army to go and take on the Banu Asad, who were planning to attack the Muslims. And when he went there, he fought in a very courageous way. But once again, he became wounded, and that old wound opened up and the blood started to flow. And he was struggling, although he managed as the leader to crush the Banu Asad. But when he came back to Madinatul Munawwarah, his injuries were grievous. He was struggling. And it wasn't long before he realized that he was not going to make it. And he was on his deathbed when the Prophet ﷺ came to visit him. And the Prophet ﷺ patted his hand and consoled him and made dua for him. And Abu Salama asked the Prophet ﷺ to also make dua, that Allah grant his family a protector and a provider just like him. So the Prophet ﷺ made dua. And he said to the Prophet ﷺ, "Include in your dua that Allah must give my wife, Umm Salama, a husband who will give her neither sorrow nor hardship." And the Prophet ﷺ made the dua. And just after making the dua, Abu Salama passed away. And the Prophet ﷺ himself closed his eyes. And after that, Umm Salama was grieving and she asked the Prophet ﷺ for advice. So he said, "Ask Allah to forgive you. Ask Allah to forgive your husband. And ask Allah to give you an even better husband." Ask Allah to give you an even better husband. And Umm Salama says that, you know, I was really perplexed and I thought to myself, where will I get a better husband than Abu Salama? And after she had finished her iddah, her waiting period, she received a proposal from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu an. She turned it down. She received a proposal from Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu an. She turned it down. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself proposed for her. She was very happy, but she had certain concerns. She said, O Rasulullah, I have three reservations. Firstly, I'm hot-headed. I have a temper. And I don't want to show any disrespect to you. You are the Prophet of Allah. Secondly, I'm an elderly lady. And thirdly, I have many children. So the Prophet ﷺ said, look, I'll make dua to Allah that he cools your temper. And as far as you are elderly, I am also not a young man anymore. And as far as your children are concerned, I will treat them as my own children. Actually, that's the reason I want to marry you, so I can assist you with this responsibility of bringing up your children. And she accepted the proposal of Rasulullah ﷺ, and she married the Prophet of Allah in the month of Shawwal in the fourth year after Hijrah. It is mentioned with regards to Ummu Salama that the Prophet ﷺ used to visit his wives every day after Asr, irrespective whose chance it was. Whoever's chance it was, he would spend the night with them. But he would visit each one of them every day after Asr, between Asr and Maghrib. And he would start with Ummu Salama because she was the eldest. Also, it's famous with regards to her that she was very astute. She was very intelligent. On the occasion of Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet ﷺ signed the treaty and Sahaba could not go forward now and make Umrah, they were in Ihram, but they had to come out of Ihram, go home and come back and perform Umrah the next year. When the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba to take off their Ihrams, to come out of Ihrams, no one complied immediately because they were still struck with the sorrow of a treaty that was signed that went totally against them and in favor of the Quraysh. And the Prophet ﷺ was perplexed as to what to do next, because generally the Sahaba would respond instantly. And he asked Ummu Salama. And look at the great advice that she gave the Prophet ﷺ. She told him that you go, don't say anything, don't engage them further. Just go and you take off your ihram and shave your hair and slaughter your animal, and you'll see what will happen thereafter. And as soon as the Prophet ﷺ did that, the Sahaba followed. Ummu Salama took part in many battles. She was there in the battle of Bani Mustalaq, in Taif, in Khaybar, in Hunayn, at the conquest of Makkah. And once the Prophet ﷺ was with her, when Jibril ﷺ came in the form of Dihya Kalbi radiallahu anh, in the human form, and was talking to the Prophet ﷺ, she knew 387 ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ by heart. She was very, very well versed in the masail of foster relations and suckling and divorce. Even a great jurist like Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma used to consult with her on many points of Sharia. She had a great mastery over language. When she spoke very eloquently. And even when she wrote very appropriately. She lived right up to the age of 84. And she passed away in the 62nd year after Hijrah. She saw the period of all the Khulafa'i Rashideen, including Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, and she passed away in the era of Yazid bin Abi Sufyan. The first of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the first of the mothers of the believers to pass away, was Zainab bint Jahash radiyallahu anha, and the last was Ummu Salama radiyallahu anha. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala inspire us with the qualities of these great personalities, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba profiles from myself, Sulaiman Ravit. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.